here in Cork just very briefly. She's couch surfing as she came over to Avail just to see a foreign first. It's in Spanish, so there's a few of you here who speak Spanish, I think. Niall speaks Spanish. Tina over there.
Yeah.
And Antonio, of course.
I understand Spanish.
There you go. Yeah. There's lots of people who understand. So, just go ahead.
Este poema fue escrito en un tiempo de esperanza, en un tiempo de alegría, en un tiempo de paz, en el que mi alma volaba. Entonces he elegido este poema porque es muy sencillo, tiene una métrica muy sencilla y una musicalidad que los que no entendáis español podréis por lo menos disfrutar del sonido. ¿Eh? Azucenas blancas, corolas cerradas, milagros al alba, tejidos de agua. Sol sobre la escarcha, miel en la alborada, calor en la alcoba, susurros y aurora, sombras y cobijos, calma y entresijos, risas provocadas, alas de almohadas, brillos en la noche, fragancias de roche, lágrimas y risas, dúctiles caricias. Cálidos inviernos, ungidos de sueños, guirnaldas, palomas, extraños aromas, mi sed de tu esencia, tu grata presencia, miradas doblegadas de amas y esclavas, flores insumisas, cuerdas y valijas, viajar por el mundo, perdidas del mundo. Letras corregidas mientras tú respiras, lunas de escarlata, susurros de gata, miau, amor en tu espalda, calor en mi falda, cientos de poemas, armonías plenas, música premiada, collares, cascadas, todos los sabores, alas de colores, conjuros, hechizos, lava y paraísos, un millón de cuentos, extraños ungüentos, masajes, frescura, una piel desnuda, mi paz en tu aliento, cuidarte por dentro, velar tus latidos, sentir tus gemidos, entrega, pasión y algo de razón. Caricias sin causas, silencios y pausas, menta y canela, café y hierbabuena, labios de galletas, perfume a violetas, besos en mi hombro, lujuria y asombro, bailes en la noche, ni un solo reproche, una flor que tapa, chocolate y nada.
Gracias, Antonella. So we're going from Spain. Now we're going from Spain all the way to Italy.
Antonella Zagard.
Zagaroli. Antonella Zagaroli, and we're going to have a translation by Jennifer Matthews.
This book is really special because everyone who has been involved in making it has come through Avail at some point. So if you remember, Anne-Maria Caro-Serrano read for us a long time ago. She's an amazing Dublin poet. She translated Antonella's poetry. This is her translations. And then the photographer who did the amazing cover is also here as well, Maria Angela Razi. Yeah. It's really incredible. So you should look it up on Amazon. It's called Mind Skin by Antonella Zagaroli. And the two poems we're going to read are very short, I promise you. And they're from a longer sequence that's a novel in verse. about an artist that has no legs, but he's been badly abused. And so this is his story in verse. The first poem is called Round the Well. My small hands know no rest. They're desiccated drapes. I'm a virgin woman. The men who've entered me haven't confused my blood. Born into black, without a voice, without a lullaby, calling for quiet, I pushed away milk and cradle. Born a black girl, to return to that black, I became an artist's shadow. Screaming my presence with rage, I answered indifference till I fainted.
Le mie piccole mani non hanno riposo. Sono tende essiccate. Sono una donna vergine. Gli uomini entrati in me non hanno confuso il mio sangue. Nata nel nero, senza voce, senza neni e in cerca di quiete, ho respinto il latte e la culla. Neonata negra, per tornare a quel nero sono diventata l'ombra di un artista. Urlando la presenza con rabbia, ho risposto all'indifferenza, fino a venire meno.
I forgot to mention these are both written around 2006. Yellow nipple, you slip into the river, still yellow. You release your juice from the groin, legs, thighs, belly, the answer. I don't know who I am. I'm in the stuff that's made. I'm the liquid that was paper, cloth, hands, hands. Hands. Silence. Words suffocate me sometimes.
Gialla mammella. Scivoli nel fiume. Nel fumo, scusate. Gialla mammella. Scivoli nel fumo. Ancora gialla. Liberi il succo. Dall'inguine. Gambe, cosce, pancia. La risposta, non so chi sono. Sono nella cosa che si fa. Sono il liquido che bagna carte, tela. Mani, mani, mani. Silenzio. Le parole mi soffocano a volte.
Grazie Antonella, right? I can speak Spanish and Italian. It's great. Next up we have Julie Field.
Thanks. I don't usually explain where what the poem is about, but just to say it was inspired by listening to radio one day. And I just found it was crazy that it jumped from talking about Gaddafi, all the crazy stuff, to this stupid pop tune, and I just felt the jump from one thing to the other was just a bit frustrating, to say the least. Radio on. He tiptoed around the truth, each movement of his lips a carefully manoeuvred lie, strategic and calculated, avoiding the landmines of fact. His words bounced around the house, from ear to wall to table to fist. He conducted a list of well-rehearsed sounds, bites bit invisible air, demons swirled in the dust, manifestations of his voice, synchronizing the world as he saw fit, one man's vision, tattooed on the minds of those he claimed his own. Oh, how his ego has grown, and will one day swallow him up, spit him out to the ravenous beasts he has created. Pop music snaps and crackles its way into lives, unaware and suspecting passers-by, or fed its infectious equations, through background music in kitchens, buses, workplaces. Spaces in the mind which are recommended fertile ground for creative flow are flooded with repetitive, predictive tones and verse.
I want to make love in this club. Love in this club. Hit me, baby, one more time. Mr. Bombastic, Telefantastic. Like a virgin touched for the very first time, I'm bad. No, 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 there is no limit. There is no limit. There is no limit to the amount of dollars the masses will consume in order to shake their asses, pout their lips, gyrate their hips, pimp their lives, escaping the restraints of suburban cages for that 2.5 minute ride. Stand and stride, the wave of pop is coming to a speaker near you.
Julie Field coming at a poetry open mic near you. Thanks, Julie. Next we have Niall Herriot.
These are just a few haiku from a few years ago. When I was walking in the hills around the source of the River Lee, first one is cobwebs in my head. Lightly feather dusted out by a long hill walk. Next, I was after this long hill walk, I was very tired, so I sat down on a bunch of heather and up flew to grouse. Nearly sat on grouse. Now, that would be something for them to grouse about. Then there was a beautiful pond, dragonflies droning. United in love over water lily pads. And then in a bog area, there was a bog had grown up around a stone circle. So it wasn't one of those stone circles that's been mapped by the archaeologist. It just goes, buried stone circle, ring of old teeth, peaks from peat, sacred site of old. And through the woodlands then, around Guggenbach, smooth as molten silk, cascading from mossy rocks, feel the energy. A little further downstream, electric blue flash of kingfisher under ash and wetfoot willow. And then through the dank woods there, those huge mushrooms. Plate-sized canopies, canapes if you are sure, but it's mushroom roulette. And then just to finish off, this isn't in the same sequence, but I call this languid haiku. On this fine hot day, I may just weed the garden, or possibly not.
Next we have Mary O'Connell.
Thanks, Mark. It is called Going the Distance. The lines we keep are parallel, resilient as steel, stretching to infinity and beyond. Side by side, yet still apart, needing each other to ensure that things run smoothly and on time. We gauge the correct distance and never cross the line, unless it be with others on the way. The weight of the world rolls over us, grinds us to the bone, as air between us becomes ironized. The engine of the brain drives ever on, sidelining gentler stirrings as bridges fall away. Only screeching to a halt in a shower of acrid sparks when the warning signal falls. Those who track our lives might ask how we maintain this course that swerves and bends to the beyond. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Next we have our five-word, reigning five-word champion, Pastor John McDonald.
Thank you. Thank you. And by the way, I call that a scent from Coventry. This is just a few rhyming lines about a joke that Tommy Cooper told, and it's called Uncle Al. My Uncle Al had a travelling bent, so off one day to Toronto he went, where he saw a neon sign on high, and it was flashing, Drink Canada Dry. He tried, he tried, he died, he died. One of my favourite places in the city is the sandwich stall in the English Market. And, I just love to go and sit there and sip an espresso and read a book or try and write verses or get ideas for stories, and characters are running around in my head shouting, pick me, but it's the ladies that work there, they're just the special people. And by the way, this is in the Asylum March edition, a quarterly review of stories, poems and drawings by the people of Cork, and it's €2 and it's on sale up in Solidarity Books. But I just call it Belladonna's of the Sandwich Stall, and they're just so nice there, they're wonderful. So I'm happy at that hour of day when at your stall I sit and stay, happy when betwixt my lips fresh brewed coffee I imbibe with sips, but happiest most whilst I quaff and hear the glories of your laugh, then sadden shore and clock that's play the ending of your working day, and your voices fade as I walk away wishing that forever I could stay. The last time I was here, John Buttermore, if he was here,
I think we're going to actually run out.
Are you on the type? Yeah, no problem.
Is it just a couple of lines? Or
it's okay. It's okay. You can go.
Fine.
Yeah,
sorry.
I get it, so the cows come home, right? But they're coming home, you see. Sarah Ketchers, please.
I wrote this about 20 years ago, so I feel a bit more confident now. Clever people everywhere, up my nose, in my hair, they speak of books and politics and names, so I have to graduate to play these games. Climb the intellectual ladder, or get even sadder and more depressed and thick. My friends progress and I get sick. I'm tired of clever people everywhere, with their clothes on or even bare. Better bare, I reckon, at least in bed, they don't care if you can't speak educated. When heaven heard, the literary critics would laugh at my poetry, I dare say. But seriously, though, you know, it's not enough to cook and sew. To be accepted with the brain, you have to follow the suggested lanes. Law, psychology, music or art, write a book, or at least make a start. Must the whole damn world graduate? Books, writers, films and plays. History dates, I could go on for days. Ignorance is bliss, so they say. Who said that, anyway?
Sarah. Next we have Roslyn Blue.
I'm glad I'm framed by a few happy poems. I want to try out something on you because I'm preparing to go on that slam. And here's a poem I'd like to kind of know whether it's got potential for it. It's a poem I've only ever done once in public in Cork so far, I think. And called The Unwanted Children. There once was an unwanted woman who met an unwanted man. In search of care and compassion, they had roamed in darkness alone. They held each other with longing, but couldn't feel love in their hearts. Dreading the other's rejection, they both were bearing the dark. It was spring and life was rejoicing, celebrating new light, and with anxious anticipation she conceived in a full moon night. In doubt of the power of love, their closed souls became cold, so the man withdrew from the woman and the woman ran from the man. Groping the depth of her sorrow, she dreaded the tender new life. Afraid of the weakness of love, she refused her full moon child. And when the cycle completed, the baby was born in the night. Grieving in pain of rejection, the woman neglected the child. There once was an unwanted mother who had an unwanted child. The child lives a fear of rejection, unwanting still haunting its mind. There now is a chain of rejection, forming the fear of all life, bonding all unwanted children. Will it ever end in the light?
Next we have Patricia Walsh.
This is called Walking on Starlight. It's raining again tonight to add insult to injury. Death spiralling in the footpath, avoiding the wino like an infection that's caught by will. It's a long time since I saw the stairs, Orion and Sirius calmly waiting until they turn my attention skywards. But in the useful lights of the city, I beckon to wait just in case. Voting is not available here, selective preferential emissions. Whatever happens, let the light away, let the shards depend upon me as rain persists.
Thank you, Trish. Grace O'Donoghue.
I ended up in Mass twice this week after about 5 years of not. And it made me realise how much I don't fit in with that section of the world anymore. So this is just my thoughts from it. I never saw the church windows at night before. Of course, why would I have? They are for letting light in, to highlight, shine a spotlight on you and the very depths of your soul, and those naughty things that only you do, even though it's in images all over the worldwide collective unconscious. Still, I'd never seen those windows at night, the stained glass faces, usually in the stain, at most of the things I enjoy now fade, merge with their segmental backgrounds, and beyond them I now see the streetlight, an arching ancient tree, stone walls carved by human hands, stacked by human backs. And now I realize there is no shame in being alive, nor in being me. It is they who should feel shame, they who lack the ability to turn the judging eye upon themselves. Yet I had to grow up under this torrid, disgusted gaze. It is I who have had 3 years of therapy to appease unexplainable, haunting sensations of guilt. Yet it is they who are guilty of corruptions and crimes I would not even contemplate. Not brave enough to walk out of the physical building due to my own internal crusade, I travel with my mind to my homely astral plane. I bury my womb and bathe in the earth. I touch the ancient wall and communicate with the generations who created it. Yes, I might even hug a tree or the streetlight that bathes a glowing light on me. I don't know why I chose this earthly life, nor the constraints, aches, and boundaries of this fleshy body and stagnant blood. But I know that right now, this is my internal paradise, and it is only with soft, reverie-filled, non-judgmental eyes we can see the everyday elements of heaven that touch and sparkle and coexist with our muddy pagan lives. It is we who are the prophets that help people realize, accept, gaze, change your stance, connect, have sex, laugh, eat shit and fart, and realize it is only when you accept, not long for improve or repent, but accept, love, and honor yourself and this very moment on earth when you're blessed to be alive. This can be the true paradise if you are willing to see you and it as good enough and reach a forgiving Christian compromise.
Thank you for those words, Grace. Graceful words. Next we have Kitali Gunnar.
Wrestling temporality. I crush mortality between my fingers, one leaf at a time. The consciousness of a being with no self-awareness, only pulsating vibrancy flowing in and out of the leaf into a boundless mind. The tree watches over me, watching over the leaf, sways from side to side, a relentless dance taking us from contemplation into action, back into reflection. Light bounces off the bark, carrying every thought. Ants crawl out of the woodwork, silent to all but those who listen, to the rustling bodies, hustling wind, bustling forces of nature. Forces always in motion. Be still and know that I am God, whispers the world, but none are still enough to know enough for God to be enough. Some words die like breath in charred lungs, but others flower from ashes scattered under fertile ground. My voice rises up the trunk of my rib cage, breaks free, and feeds me. We are one, the tree and I, moved by the same wind, warmed by the same sun. We are specks on the cornea of the universe, yet from the corner of my eye, something greater. Unlike the tree, I can speak of being in time, or at least try. These words too may fall, all the way to the ground, with hardly more sound than the desiccated leaves I rub between my fingers.
Thanks, Kitali. Next we have Helen Cavanarotta.
This is written after spending some unexpected time in a French villa. And the gate zapper is mine. The gate zapper is mine. And everything is just fine. The iron did sigh as its slow moor closed before the Alps. And I did cry. The Mediterranean breeze wrapped me in her arms. No bugs would bother me. No wasps in cold iced tea. Creepy things here are not to fear. And I'm here today, just me. My brain is warm, my wine is French. It needs to breathe much longer here, opposite to my mind power now. Ain't that queer? The village is near, and it's their siesta time. Gathering my book, I open the page, drink from the breeze, and then black penitents chime. Franco world is sleeping, and the crickets are creaking. Then gently it breaks, and distant French speaking, silence. Bubbles only burst with sounds of pleasure. Provence has taught me to think at leisure. In Ireland it's overload, stinking pressure. EC, and here it's mental pleasure. Must have been easy, EC, for Sartre to spout philosophy, for Beauvoir to appear pretty, and thoughts to float free in a land where bugs are shiny. And one can feel thinking, even from a tree. Sun and sleep, food and mind, water clean and flowing wine. No wonder les Français don't move in time, no punk, no rock, no change in climb, for where they were is where they're at, the universe has that recorded. The French with culture were rewarded, and the gate zapper indeed is mine, as I lose myself in time.
And wine. Thank you, Helen. If it wasn't for the conventions night, I'd say we'd be having a Mediterranean night. And we've got someone else, Homme de France, the French poet, I think. Adrian.
So it's a poem about friendship between a man and his male friends, and this friendship is above all, it's above pain, woman, it's really, really, really strong. It's a song, basically it's a song, but tonight I don't have guitar, so just the word and the song, maybe, for you. So, let's go. It's called, this. It's called, in French, Les Hommes que j'aime, The Men I Love. Je voudrais vous parler des hommes que j'aime, ceux qui m'ont embrassé sur les bords de la Seine, où j'allais me jeter par une reine que j'avais aimée plus que les hommes que j'aime. Ils ont des gueules cassées, il faut les voir au petit jour, se lever tout étonnés du monde qui les entoure. Ils vont, ils viennent, ils traînent, ils parlent fort, ne parlent pas, ils entendent des carmen qui leur disent « Eh, viens par là !» Chaque fois, ils y vont, chaque fois, ils en reviennent. Entre un ange et un démon, ainsi aiment les hommes que j'aime. Ce sont des dons juants, ils savent les chagrins d'amour. Des amitiés de survivants qui fêtent votre retour, et quand passe un drame, et que l'un de nous, il touche, on se donne des prénoms de femmes, et on s'embrasse sur la bouche. Aujourd'hui, c'est mon tour, je vis le bord de la Seine. Je crie au secours, ainsi m'aiment les hommes que j'aime. Et je lève mon verre à la santé de ces voyous, qu'elle me porte bonheur, ce soir j'ai rendez-vous. J'irai comme je suis, non, je ne changerai rien, à toutes mes folies et à mon feu dans mes mains, à mon amour sans pudeur, à mon amour qui se déchaîne, et même ça fait peur, ainsi j'aime les hommes que j'aime.
Merci, Adrien. And yet another European country appears tonight, but actually a Corkonian, because we've nabbed him, Rebbe Carson.
From an occasional series of things that have interested me, two short verses from the Qing, or the Tao Te Ching actually. 30 spokes will converge in the hub of a wheel, but the use of the cart will depend on the part of the hub that is void. With a wall all around, a clay bowl is moulded, but the use of the bowl will depend on the part of the bowl that is void. Cut out windows and doors in your house as you build, but the use of the house will depend on the space in the walls that is void. So advantage is had from whatever is there, but usefulness arises from whatever is not. And one other sharp little thing. A good runner leaves no tracks. A good speech has no flaws to censure. A good computer uses no tallies. A good door is well shut without bolts and cannot be opened. A good knot is tied without rope and cannot be loosed. The wise man is always good at helping people so that none are cast out. He is always good at saving things so that none are thrown away. This is called applied intelligence. Surely the good man is the bad man's teacher, and the bad man is the good man's business. If the one does not respect his teacher, or the other doesn't love his business, his error is very great. This indeed is an important secret.
Thank you, Rav. And finally, to end off this fantastic night, we have from the exotic Republic of Leitrim, although we've actually claimed him as well, as a Corkonian, Conor McManus. He'll be going to Coventry in November to the Citadel.
Thanks, Bob. This is a true story. It was a wet Tuesday evening in January, and 3 months since the other half split, and I had taken to doing laundry when I had nothing better to do. I was in a slight state of elation as I had just worked out how to fold the t-shirts and was gingerly folding the underpants and thinking it's life's little victories that are the sweetest when the doorbell rang. It was my good neighbour Jason Blessing asking if I'd participate in a white collar boxing night for charity. I'd admit I knew it was a good cause, but I had my reservations. 3 2-minute rounds, Jason said, jabbing the air, timed with quick, sharp exhalations. Oh, is that all? I said. For Ranald MacDonald House, Cumberland Children's Hospital. Jab, jab again. Oh, right, yeah. You'll have no problem, he said, with those builder's hands, as he danced round me in the dim light of the porch. Jab, jab, left hook. I thought, how hard could it be? I mean, Mickey Rourke did it, right? Okay, so he got a bit cut up. Okay, so he needed a bit of plastic surgery. But I don't intend to go back acting after this. As Jason spoke and jabbed and bobbed and weaved and jabbed again, and the memories came flooding back, sitting up with my pops at 3 a.m. to watch Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, Leon Spinks. What kid doesn't remember that? And being traumatised by the deer hunter, just for good measure. Yes, I grew up in that era of titanic battles, where victory meant slugging it out for 15 3-minute rounds between great men, and where Ali may have been the greatest, but there were never any losers. I had a Muhammad Ali poster over my bed, and every kid in my street boxed, and the annual tournament in Doherty's Hall was the highlight of the year. Doherty's Hall was full of noise and sweat and sweet afton smoke. Doherty's Hall was all black eyes, burst lips, sweet tea and swollen noses, and Manor Hamilton boys, and tough bucks from Kilty Clatter that talk funny, and triangular mountains of triangular sandwiches of blue band margarine and ham and jam sponge cake in chunks that would choke a horse, and Mrs. For the Love of Jesus Dowd from the shop, and Mrs. Ferguson who was stuck on everything, and Mrs. Doyle the sergeant's wife with her hair in a bun, pouring out tea and milk in it from pots with two handles into enough cups for an army, and big bucks, bachelors with blackheads, digging into the sandwiches in the side room, and the sergeant was always the ref in his white shirt and black dicky bow. So I said to Jason after a few more jabs, okay, God knows why. Being in the foremitch in said state of elation might explain it. Way down deep, I knew how hard this was going to be. I knew it was all about the puff. The possibilities of popping an airbag after about 30 seconds were high. So I was going into training big time. Get the heart going, get the lungs going, the legs, fly like a butterfly. Lose a few pounds. The doc said I could do with losing a few pounds. Middle age spread and all the rest. And of course a little TLC for the old ticker, because I'm worth it. This was my operation transformation. No more would mastering the fold on the arm of a t-shirt be seen as a victory. This was real man stuff and a good cause, and I was in. I was motivated. What's not a good motivator though is the bicycle machine at the gym in my place of work. After cycling what felt like the equivalent of up the Galties, and consequently fit to burst, the computerised data readout informed me I had only burned off a mere half, one half of a boiled egg. I was apoplectic, and reading alone almost gave me a granary. I felt it was at least the equivalent of 2 onget steaks cooked medium rare from one of Cork's many fine restaurants. I refused to use the machine again. Apart from the training, I had to get a few bits of kit, like hand bandages and a boil and bite gum shield. So I'm in a sports shop reading the packaging, trying to make up my mind as to which one I'll buy. No longer, it seems, is a gum shield just a gum shield. No, coming with innovative stretch zones and integrated posterior buffer pads, not a Kardashian implant, to protect against oreofacial impacts and protect the temporomandibular joint from traumatic injury. And what with the gum shield's vital radial fin supports to absorb shock and prevent concussion, I was beginning to think I could just donate a princely sum and buy my way out of this whole thing. But I knew it was too late for that. My friends, my barfly buddies that is, are all for it, and all want to be in the Rochestown Park Hotel on the night of the 7th of April. Initially I was overwhelmed by their bonhomie and support. I felt warm with and camaraderie with these men, whom I'd known for a number of years, and who said men don't support other men? But then I realised they just wanted to see me get a good thumping. On the other hand, the outgoing title holder for the Mrs. McManus Perpetual Trophy, whom one would quite rightly suspect of rowing in behind the barflies, didn't quite see it like that. She actually seemed concerned, and after a little spar of, yes it is, no it's not a midlife crisis variety, she said, it's a fine line between champ and chump. But I'm not for turning. After all, Jason assured me it would be okay, right? And I've gotten over the trauma of reading the gum shield packaging, and I've even gotten used to the gum shield. After I boiled and bit, it filled up with gum juice and I thought I was going to drown, and my gag reflex ejected it across the kitchen floor. Now, however, I can vacuum the whole house with it in. I need to be open and honest here. The first real training session in the boxing clinic in Ballycorheen was a completely different bag of worms to anything I'd ever experienced before. We started doing exercises with makey uppy names like burps and frog leaps and mountain climber and star jumps and scrunchies. Yes, as in girls' hairband. Quite laughable, really. However, I quickly realised that to survive them required the guile of a junior B cornerback. Youth is no match for age and treachery, as some Greek once said, so I had to dip into my bag of tricks. I didn't tell Coach Clara my name. I didn't catch her eye at any time during the session. I counted the exercises up in twos, and as the session wore on, I counted them up in threes. Even so, halfway through, I'd have given anything to be cycling up the Galtees. I recall the warning on that hated bike machine: stop if you feel pain, faint or dizzy. Well, I was feeling all three and just lay with my cheek on the mat when coach wasn't looking and wondering if this is what the doc really meant by more exercise. The feel of my cheek on the mat felt refreshing, and as I lay there I imagined the view from the canvas and me looking out at a sea of blurry faces in the Rochestown Park. I knew dodging the exercises was not the answer, as there would be nowhere to hide on the night. The square ring was a lonely place after the ref uttered those immortal words. No slapping, kicking, ear-biting or eye-gouging. Shake, back to your corners and come out fighting. And all this before I'd even sparred. But as I lay there being lulled into a state of sleepiness by the rhythm of a skipping rope slapping the boards, I recall that promise I made to Jason as he left on that wet Tuesday in January. As he faded into the darkness, still jogging and jabbing, I threw a few left-right-left combinations at the newel post at the bottom of the stairs and swore that after the 7th of April, I'd be folding the champs underpants.